We'll get going here with Philip Tsang just in a second. Also, our panelists today, we have Joel Haggard, who's an Asia-Pacific director based in Hong Kong. Joel's been on our calls a number of times. I know a lot of you are familiar with Joel. He'll be talking about our activities in Asia. And we're also happy today to have Oscar Ferrara, who joined USMEF in January. Oscar is our regional director for Mexico, Central America, and the Dominican Republic. I'm going to turn it over to Phil Tsang. Phil, if you want to just kind of give a global overview, following Phil's comments, we'll have Joel and Oscar, and then we'll go to a question and answer period. So, Phil, you want to kick us off, please?
It's really a pleasure to be here in Washington, D.C. As you know, we planned our meeting around the fact that there's going to be a new administration here in Washington, and after a number of months, we're starting to see the complexion of the new administration. We're pleased, first of all, to see that we do have a secretary in Sonny Perdue, and also the USTR position has been filled with Mr. Lighthizer. We're very encouraged. I think that those positions are filled, and hopefully we can start seeing even more clarity and direction as far as our policy, as far as ag trade policy and agriculture in general. I think to begin with, I always like to begin maybe talking a little bit about the numbers. I think, first of all, I'd like to say that so far through the beginning of this year, the United States has become the number one beef supplier to the world. We've eclipsed our competitors in this regard. So with the increased production, I think that the export portion of the whole beef complex is pulling its weight, and we have now become the largest exporter of beef in the world, and that's quite a milestone. I think that when we take a look at these numbers, we have some markets that really stand out when we look at U.S. beef and beef variety meats. For example, starting with Japan, our largest value market, we're up 41% on a volume basis in Japan. And I think that if we take a look, closer look, we're also in Mexico up 17%, Korea we're up 23%, in Canada we're up 14%, and in Taiwan we're up 28%. And as we go around the globe, obviously, to see that kind of growth of a 15% increase in beef exports and 19% in volume or value, I think that's quite significant. So that's just from a general opening comment. I think when we take a look at the pork complex, we're also encouraged by our performance this year thus far in pork. We're up 17%. We're up 29% in Mexico, and Oscar will talk in more depth about that. We're up in Korea 31%, and it almost seems like Korea defies gravity when it comes to its imports as far as both beef and pork. So we're very grateful for the milestones and the progress we're making in Korea. We're seeing in Central and South America, we're up about 44%. I think the CAFTA agreement has been good for us. We're up in Colombia. We're also up in the Oceanic area in Australia. So as we start looking at these numbers, we're really starting to see, I think, significant growth as far as these markets. And I think we're looking forward on the lamb side. We're down on the lamb side, but we look forward to the opening up of the Japanese market. We've done very well in Taiwan with the advent of our product going into Taiwan last year, so I think that's very encouraging. And as long as I'm kind of expressing the good news, I think there's also some good news from the beef standpoint. You know, as you know, all of you know, Brazil has just started taking some U.S. beef shipments, so that process has commenced, and I think we're very encouraged that we're able to export to Brazil. And hopefully the velocity of those exports will pick up as time goes on. In Thailand, we had some significant progress in Thailand because now we're able to sell OTM product or beef that's over 30 months. We also have a variety of meats that are all eligible for the Taiwan or Thailand market. I think that's very significant. I think another major milestone that we have is in the Korean market, and Joel will talk in more depth about that, but in Korea, we were able to actually have U.S. beef completely 100% being supplied by the United States in Costco. And Costco is the largest, one of the largest retailers in Korea. They represent our product most handsomely, and this could attribute to maybe an additional 15,000 metric tons over time. So we see this Costco as in Korea as a significant trade achievement as far as what we're doing. And just last week, just prior to President Trump coming into Saudi Arabia, we saw a shipment of U.S. beef going into Saudi Arabia. I think on the pork side, Oscar will again talk about this, but we saw seven new pork products launched in Mexico at the beginning of this year. I think that's been very, very significant. I think also to talk a little bit about some of the other challenges that we have. I think, as you know, the trade map has been a little bit unclear for us in the trade area from the standpoint of I think some of the rhetoric in the campaign and some of that carried into the beginning of this year. Obviously, for a lot of us who I think saw significant progress in TPP, to have that canceled on the second or the day after the inauguration, I think that was hard to take, because as we look at our disadvantage in Japan vis-a-vis our competitor, major competitor on beef, Australia, they right now enjoy almost a 12% advantage. And this is a rounded number when it comes to the tariff situation. And obviously, with not any clarity yet as to when the U.S. and Japan would commence with an FTA, there has not been an official request by the United States, and Japan is still, I think, very enthused with TPP 11, and in my discussions with the Japanese, they're still hopeful that the United States will see the benefits of TPP and engage in that. So I think from our standpoint, we see that as an important step, whether it's called TPP or whatever. We see advantages of gaining, because there was 28 chapters in TPP. Market access was just one of them, so hopefully with more time, there'll be some manifestation of TPP that could maybe be worked out in Asia, which I think would help us in our negotiations with China and basically with our leverage in that whole region. I think also when it comes to this whole issue, I think there is some concerns about NAFTA, where that is just going to commence here very soon, but with NAFTA, we always are interested, I think, in improving any trade agreement. You know, as time goes on, things change, and there's e-commerce, for example, as we know right now, is growing at four times the pace of your traditional supermarket chains. And so we see there's a lot of change that's going on, and so refreshing that agreement, I think, is always a good thing. But I think the thing that we're most concerned about is we don't want to lose any gains we've made as far as trade access and also as far as our exports and our initiatives in all these markets. So this is very, very concerning. I think also we feel very strongly that the MAP program, the Foreign Market Development Program, these programs that have been enunciated by the USDA and some of these since 1985, they've been significant for us as far as moving product internationally. Over the last 40 years, U.S. agriculture has enjoyed a trade surplus. It's been one of the most successful areas in the U.S., and it's probably our most important tool when it comes to our trade policy and to our foreign policy. So I think a lot of countries have depended on the United States for many, many years from a food security standpoint. And even though they're not food self-sustaining, they are able to depend on the United States. And I think to some degree that has been called into question as we've witnessed some of the corn purchases that are going on with Mexico. And that market diversification obviously is something that we hate to see when we're a primary supplier to that market. So I think with that, I should probably turn it over to Joe and who you want to introduce next. But I just would say that we really appreciate the support of our membership. We look at this meeting as being very instrumental as far as dealing with some of the major issues that confront us at this point in time. And I think the main thing is we want to really extol the benefits of trade and what it means to U.S. agriculture and actually to the greater U.S. economy. Thank you.